My guest today is one of the family members of the family-owned pet food company, Nutrisource, who presents this podcast. I've got Charlie Nelson here, the president of the company, and I'm excited for you to meet him. I've been up to Perm, Minnesota, where the family lives and the food is made, and have met all the family, but I'm really looking forward to talking more in depth with Charlie, hearing more stories about the family and how they got so involved with helping other families that have children that are battling cancer. Welcome, Charlie. It's an honor to have you here today.
Susan, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this, so I was anxiously looking forward to visiting with you today, so I appreciate it.
You are the third generation of the family that's headed up the company for more than 50 years. What's it like to be part of this legacy?
You know, more than anything, it's an honor. Certainly, it comes with some expectations, which are good. It's good to have those. And yeah, more than anything, my grandfather and father before me obviously have done lots of things right. And it puts a little added stress and pressure into my day-to-day sometimes, but it's been a lot of fun. And it's fun thinking about how we got here, but also really just as much how can we can get to the next level and what it's going to take and the personnel that will be involved and the fun along the way. So there's a little bit of pressure involved, but certainly more than anything, it's been an honor to try to uphold what we've accomplished thus far, remember the history, and really also look forward to great things coming up in the future.
I know family-owned companies are a whole different kettle of fish. When I was married, I know family-owned companies hold all sorts of different challenges than the ones that aren't. You mentioned your grandfather and father. So it was your grandfather that started the company, right?
Yes, my grandfather started the company with a feed store and chick hatchery business in the 40s, actually. And when my dad graduated college from Notre Dame, moved back to our hometown in the early 60s, and at that point is really when they decided, hey, you know what, we've got a lot of good relationships with some local growers, local farmers, local retailers and customers, and why don't we get into dog food? So there, like most things you'll find out about us, we sometimes don't always put the most thought into it, but I think we certainly roll our sleeves up and get after it, and that's what my grandpa and dad did, and we started making dog food in the early to mid 60s, and dad was the first salesperson hitting the road, and it's always an inside joke that my dad always says, you know, the dog food would get a little less expensive as the day went on because he refused to come home with anything other than an empty truck. So that was kind of an inside running joke for us. And ironically, I was one of the first couple salespeople when we actually purchased Tuffy's back in 2001, which is a unique story in itself. And so it was kind of full circle from that standpoint. But yes, my grandpa and dad ultimately started the pet food business in the early 60s.
Were you as a boy riding along with your dad when he was making those early sales calls?
You know, I was born in 71, so I was not as involved. In fact, my grandpa retired in 1971, and that's when we first did sell Tuffy's Pet Foods. And at that point, my dad started a different business, potato chips and popcorn and what have you. And I certainly did ride along in the car on some of those sales calls and what have you. And then again, to come full circle and get back involved with our family company from the pet food side when we purchased Tuffy's back in 2001 made it special, certainly for me.
You mentioned, of course, the name of the actual manufacturer is called Tuffy's Pet Foods. Now, that's kind of an unusual name. Where does that name Tuffy come from?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So my grandpa's name was Daryl, and when he was about 12 years old, he was goofing around in the neighborhood, I think climbing a tree, and he fell down out of the tree, and some of the older boys in the neighborhood saw him, and my grandpa did everything he could to kind of not tear up and cry. And at that point, the older boys in the neighborhood called him, you know, Tuff, and it led to Tuffy. So since he was 12 years old up until he passed away in the mid-80s, he was known as Tuffy because of a little accident when he was 12 years old. So that was the name of the manufacturing plant, and that's still today the name of the, you know, name of the manufacturing plant in our backyard here in Perham, Minnesota. But obviously we go out by on a national scale as Nutrisource Pet Foods, which is our premium brands and kind of the face of the company as far as a branding standpoint goes today.
So I know you grew up in Perham. Have you lived there your whole life?
You know what? I have not. I grew up in Perham. I graduated from Perham High School. I had the opportunity to play baseball at the University of Minnesota on a scholarship. I to this day, feel very fortunate and humbled that I had that opportunity. So I did that. And following college, I had an opportunity to chase a childhood dream of playing baseball professionally. So I rode many buses and a few planes and played minor league baseball for 5 years or so. And then chased that dream. Quite honestly, I was playing baseball in San Antonio, Texas in 1998 when Red McCombs bought the Minnesota Vikings. He was a big car dealership owner and among other things in San Antonio. I reached out to him and wrote a little letter hoping that maybe I could get my foot in the door with the Minnesota Vikings when I was done playing baseball. I was just looking to get into maybe stay in the sports arena when baseball was done for me. And it ultimately led to an interview and a full-time position in their sales and marketing department for a couple of years. I then was recruited to go to work at Merrill Lynch. I did that for a period of time. And then when when my dad and a couple of others purchased Tuffy's back in 2001, is when I really had the first itch to get back into the family business. It was good timing for me. I felt I was in a good place and something that I wanted to dive into. And again, I wasn't sure I would be doing that, but when we purchased Tuffy's back, something kind of clicked for me and the desire was there and the timing was good. And I was fortunate to jump into the family business then about 18 years ago now. And I at that point, I was still traveling. I was living in Minneapolis, living in Phoenix, Arizona as well, as I was handling kind of the west side of the country for sales for a period of time, and then was fortunate enough to meet my now wife, and we thought no better place than to raise family back where I grew up. So about 7 years ago, we moved back to Perham. You could certainly say full circle, and now my wife and I are raising our two young girls and puppy, and and doing the Perham thing again. So it's been a wild ride, and one that I just feel fortunate to be sitting here today knowing that that I have this opportunity going forward.
What's your puppy's name?
Gabby.
And so what kind of dog?
I have a wife, two young girls. It's a it's a mix. It's like it's a golden doodle, I believe. Uh-huh. So we have a little puppy. She'll turn one in December, and a couple of young girls, and we got a wild household going on right now, that's for sure. So,
well, I can imagine since you had that passion for sports, you know, through your life, and now this passion for, you know, making this company, you know, the best company it can be with all the same kind of characteristics and standards of quality, I would think you'd be applying some of the rules of sports to trying to make sure you've got great standards in the pet food company.
You know, it's interesting, Susan, you say that, because certainly there is a there's a competitive side to me, and that's what some of this is, right? I mean, we are in competition. Granted, we are doing everything possible every day to provide the safest, healthiest product for our pets. That is absolutely number one and always will be for us. But, you know, business is competitive, and there's a lot of passion involved, and there's a lot of teamwork involved. So there is certainly some similarities with what can motivate and drive one in athletics and do the same thing in the business arena. So I have taken some of those characteristics with me, and it seems to have worked to a degree. And again, more than anything, it's surrounding yourself with great people that we certainly have in Perham, along with our sales team throughout the country.
No, I agree, and obviously because I've been up there and have met all the family members and all the supporting cast and been in the pet food plant, I've got to say, Charlie, it's the relationships and the people that is what impressed me so much and why I'm yeah. so privileged and honored to be able to be helping, you know, do this podcast. Yeah. And of course, it was you, Charlie, who said, I think, you know, we should have a podcast. Why did you get that idea? Why did you want to have a podcast?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Susan, first of all, thanks for the nice words. I mean, we are a proud small community up here. You know, we have more jobs than people. It speaks to the type of aggressive and progressive community that Perham, Minnesota is. And it's because of the people, it's because of the leadership with many different industries and many different organizations. And it's what makes us tick and it's what makes us work. So thanks for the kind words. You know, the podcast, more than anything, it's interesting. I was thinking about that. You know, there's just a lot going on in business right now. There's a lot going on in the pet food industry right now. And, you know, it's more than anything, I thought it was an opportunity for us to tell our story, tell people what we're about. And again, certainly the quality of product and the different products that we have and the direction we're heading, but really our story. Who are we? What are we about? Where do we come from? I just, the more I've been in this industry, the more passion you feel at all levels, from our partnerships with our retailers to our partnerships with our distributors to our end users and hearing and feeling their passion and sometimes their pain. And it just felt like it was an opportunity for us to tell our story. You know, we often get dictated to by others, or sometimes others seem to be in the limelight a little more. And I just thought, you know what, I think we have something neat here, and I think people would like to hear it, would like to know about it, and it would give us an opportunity to make people more aware of not only our products, but who we are. And so I think that's what kind of started it, and you've obviously done a wonderful job with it, and we think it's kind of a tool in our tool chest to make people aware of who we are, what we do, what we stand for, and what we believe in.
And some of what we stand for and believe in, not only, of course, providing this great, you know, food to feed the pets, but how can the pet owners or pet parents, whichever term people like, really better care for and raise the pets? And obviously what I share with people, Charlie, is, you know, our podcast is not a commercial for the food. It's meant to be a resource for how to care for the pets. And I love that we're doing that. But anyway, so I know, like a lot of other pet food companies, our company does reach out to help dogs in like emergencies, like the natural disasters, like we've donated to food to hurricane areas, but not, and we also help support organizations that work with working dogs. And I've actually been able to talk with some of those people on the podcast. Like, you know, these are the organizations that you guys have, you know, donated food, like to the search and rescue dogs, the sled dogs, drug and bomb defense dogs, as well as there's an organization that dogs are helping war veterans. And they've been great to talk to. But the thing I really want to get to is your company not only helps dogs, Charlie, but I've noticed for decades, your family's major priority has been to reach out and assist organizations that are supporting families and children, such as the Angel of Hope organization or the Get Her Done Foundation. And how, and then we'll talk about the latest one, the Pinky Swear Foundation. But Charlie, how did all this come about? Where does this come from in the family?
Yep. You know, Susan, I honestly think it's there wasn't a particular event or what have you with it, as much as, you know, if somebody were to ask me, what do you have in common with your dad and grandpa? I think two things would come to mind. One would be we were all impatient. We all want to get moving. We all want to get, you know, get things done and so forth. And the other one would be I truly believe that we're all compassionate. I know my grandpa was with what he did in our community many years ago. I see what my dad has done. I know what my mother has done. And I'd like to think I learned some of that. So I just think it comes from a place where we are very fortunate. Business has not always been easy. There's challenging times. But at the end of the day, you know, we've had enough success to want to make a difference. And honestly, I can truly tell you, as much as I am passionate about the pet food industry, if we couldn't try to make a difference at the end of the day, I don't know what we would do. I mean, I truly believe that. So, you know, we have been, you know, a little sporadic with the organizations that we have worked with and supported, simply because when they're brought to our attention, you know, the majority of them feel like something that we want to get behind. So certainly we have gotten behind some of those more than others, like you've mentioned. But really, at the end of the day, yes, we want to help children. You know, we're working with an organization called Pinky Swear. We've made a $1 million commitment to them that is very important to us. And it started with an introduction. And we were told about this organization that was raising dollars for families that have a child with cancer. I can't imagine anything more, really more devastating than that. And when it really hit home is when we were brought to, this organization was brought to our attention. And when the director spoke to our group and said, by the way, we're working with a family right here in Perham. And it was a young lady who works for us. Worked for us at the time, and a wonderful lady and her daughter, who we knew very well, was going through cancer. And I excused myself and I walked down the hall because I wanted to hear it from this young lady how she truly felt about this organization. And when I walked into her office and I said, Pinky Swear, she immediately teared up and said they are absolutely making a difference, providing dollars for travel to and from the hospital, maybe covering a month's rent, just providing some financial help, because God forbid it's one of the many things that families are stressed over during difficult times. And I knew right then we needed to be a part of it. So walked down, visited with our group, and as a team, like we try to make all decisions, our team committed $1 million on the spot. Because again, I don't know why we would do these things if we couldn't help at the end of the day. So that's one example of organization we got behind because it's worthy and it was near and dear to our community and it's a national program. And so that's an example of one of the organizations we're supporting right now.
Pinky Swear, that's an unusual name for it. Now, I remember when I was a kid, and we, like with my friends, if we promised to do something, you know, we would link our pinkies and we'd call that a pinky swear. What's the story behind why they called their organization Pinky Swear?
Yeah, so it started, and the father visited with us, and it started with a father and mother and a 9-year-old boy. And the 9-year-old boy got cancer and was spending a lot of time in the hospital. And ultimately, the 9-year-old boy wanted to make a difference. And he decided to go into his own, you know, a little piggy bank checking account and give dollars to the other patients that were in the clinic. They were a family that had the means to be able to do nice things for others. And they did those things. And they just really enjoyed themselves. And at the end of that, giving some dollars to these families so that they could buy some toys and so forth for their kids. The boy turned to his dad and said, you know what, promise me we can do this again next year. And the dad said, you know what, we just don't know what next year brings. But, you know, the boy said, well, let's prank Pinky Swear on that. And they did a Pinky Swear that they would do that going forward. So it was kind of a promise from a father to a son that really started this, this wonderful organization, which is now nationwide. We partnered up with the New York Yankees on having Pinky Swear Day at Yankee Stadium, among other things. And again, it started with a worthy cause and good intention, and it's something we've been proud to be a part of.
Well, there you go. That's a combination of the sports with your other passions for helping other people. And, you know, Charlie, I don't know if this is true, but for me, you know, the years I've been involved with you guys and being aware of those other organizations that I kind of mentioned, the common theme of all of them were helping families. And so this is the part that I'm imagining is because of how strong of a value all the Nelsons, you know, your family has for family and trying to help the family. I'm imagining that's why you guys naturally gravitate to those organizations, again, that are helping family. And it's clear in your family, all of you guys love kids. So I think that must be, you know, I'm making this up probably, but would you agree that probably that's where some of the roots of this come from?
Well, it certainly does, you know, and really not just being family owned, but we view our entire workforce as family. I mean, listen, we're in manufacturing, we're in production, and not all of it is easy work. We have an unbelievable group you know, of roughly 500 employees that work for us, that we wouldn't be where we are without them. And we are big believers. We offer free health care, you know, to our employees. We offer free health clinics. We have our own health clinic, free medications, housing support, profit sharing. If our company makes money, they do. And these are things that, again, they're the right thing to do for our people. It's why we're here. And, you know, it sometimes I want to say, geez, you know what, sometimes we're not the least expensive, you know, product in the marketplace, but I truly believe I sleep well at night knowing part of that is because we are doing lots of things behind the scenes that are the right things to do. And we got to keep trying to get better. We are looking every day at how we can do even more for our workforce. We have to focus on going from good to great as a company, and we are every day, and we'll get better than ever. But I think we do a lot of neat things for our employees because they are family too. So,
I know you also have put a lot of thought to and work on your approach with your retailers.
Yeah. You know, what really got me hooked was probably the first day when I joined the company in 2001. We bought back Tuffy's because, quite honestly, the previous owners, corporate owners, were going to close the facility. It was one of many facilities for this larger manufacturer. And they just didn't need Perham, Minnesota, and that didn't feel right. It didn't feel right to the community, didn't feel right to the employees, and it didn't feel right to us. And, you know, my dad and a couple others were able to sit down. Gary Ebling, a gentleman who unfortunately passed away about a month ago, mm-hmm. after 50-plus years with our company, was a key to some of that as well. And we were able to buy it back and get that done. And I can tell you, the minute we bought it back and it was official, I think we looked at each other and thought, okay, now what? Because we hadn't been in this industry for 30 years. So that's when a couple of us joined, and I'll never forget jumping in the car, driving to some of these very nice independent retailers that I can tell you 18 years later, we still have a nice relationship with. And I remember walking in saying, listen, I'm not here to sell you anything today. I'm here to introduce myself, tell you who we are, and more than anything, hear from you, hear your passion, hear your pain, hear where there's opportunities, where your challenges are. And if we can be a solution, we want to be that. And to hear the retailer's passion and challenges of making it work and staying in business and keeping their workforce employed and being successful, I was hooked. I mean, I was hooked because I felt like we could provide solutions. So ever since then, I mean, really, we have tried to be a solutions-based company. It has been so important for us to maintain strong relationships with our retailers. We have an unbelievable sales staff of 40 people, which some companies would say, geez, that's a lot of salespeople. For us, it's like, listen, we want to have people having tight relationships with the very people that are responsible for having us still be here today. So It started a long time ago with learning, number one, this is the most passionate industry we've ever been involved in, and number two is we're going to be solutions-based. We're going to listen to our retailers and do everything we can. We aren't going to be perfect, but if we have our retailers top of mind, we can be successful at the end of the day, and I think we've been able to do that. We're in some challenging times right now with some sensitive topics going on, and again, we're relying very much so on strong relationships and telling our story and work ourselves through some of these things going on right now.
The last thing I want to cover is I understand there's a new project that NutriSource is involved with that combines helping children along with a dog. What's that about?
Yeah. So, you know, we are so excited about this. We have been supporters of Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota for a number of years. We've made significant pledges to them. We are big believers in them, and it does allow us to doctor there and so forth. But we also have a nice relationship with an organization called Masonic Children's Hospital. And they are in Minneapolis. And in sitting down with them, we learned of their interest in having a dog on staff. So as I've had conversations with Mayo Clinic about some of this type of things where we're learning the how much a dog can make a difference for children in the medical, you know, in the hospital setting. And then to hear that Masonic Children's Hospital in Minneapolis wanted to go down this road, I'm like, geez, this is a huge opportunity. So we partnered up with Masonic Children's. We've made a $250,000 commitment to ultimately train, be responsible and involved in training up and ultimately staffing this hospital with a full-time dog on staff. Dog's name will be, in memory of my grandpa, will be Tuffy. And
perfect.
This dog will be the dog will be responsible for roaming the hallways, spending time with children in their rooms. And what we're already just learning is a dog at the bedside of a child, that the child will take their medicines better. They'll react better. They'll be happier. They'll communicate better with their medical staff. Everything about it is healthy for the dog, as well as the child and the families. And again, these families and children are spending, unfortunately, long lengths of times in these clinics. And what Masonic has done with a really neat children's wing in that clinic, along with what we're fortunate enough to partner up with them on, again, it feels like a good thing. And I know we're going to make a difference, and we're excited about it.
Now, has the dog been selected yet?
That's a work in progress as we speak. The dog's being selected, and it'll be, we believe, arriving in Masonic in November. But just some of the early tests that we've visited with some other clinics that have a dog that occasionally will stop by a clinic is we're just seeing all these benefits. So the idea of a full-time dog on staff that these children can get to know and love and treat as their own is going to be a lot of fun. And that's coming together kind of as we speak.
And I know we'll feature more stories about Tuffy, and I know we'll probably have pictures of Tuffy on our social media and on our blogs.
Yep.
And I'm sure we'll be able to talk about Tuffy and get stories from the hospital, and we'll feature those on the podcast once the program really gets going.
Well, we absolutely plan to do that. I know Masonic plans to do that, and you know, ultimately we would love to be able to do this in more locations in the country. I mean, if this works, this could be something that we kind of deem as something we want to do going forward as well. So we're just excited to get started on this.
I'm excited about it too. Let's see, the last few minutes, Charlie, is there anything else you want to throw in or add in?
You know, I guess nobody cares more about the health of an animal, you know, than us and others in this industry. I mean, let's be honest. At the end of the day, all we want to do is look out, you know, for our, you know, our furry family members. And again, we are taking this very seriously, and we're doing everything we can on our end. Again, we just know that there are the fun thing about this industry also is that you get to hear the success stories. You get to visit with people that talk about how much their dog seems to like our products and feel good and look good and are healthy. And that's what this is all about. If we're not doing that, you know, we have problems. I've said before, we can always sell a first bag of product. If we can't sell a second bag based on performance, we have big problems. And that is something top of mind that we focus on every day. And we are very successful at, I just bring that up, Susan, as something that's kind of out in the news today. And you really explain that very well, and it's something that we're working on together to work through.
My guest has been Charlie Nelson, president of Nutrisource Pet Foods, a family-owned manufacturer of high-quality pet foods made in Minnesota. Thank you, Charlie.
Susan, thanks for having me today. I really appreciate you letting us tell our story, and thanks for everything you do for us.